Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
The new head coach of the Buffalo Sabres, Lindy Ruff.
What really got the team started was the way Dominic Hasek played. Dominic Hasek! Last 3 months of the season, the fans had made a huge difference. We had this building just rocking.
I'm going to leave you with two words. No goal.
Pierre with it. Shoots one off the glove. Score!
Communicate, be heavy, let's go win this thing. Come on.
Great road trip! Great road trip!
What the score!
Poignant video tribute to Lindy Ruff, to salute the man who was behind the bench for so many, many years. They don't forget. They won't forget.
And Lindy is back. And that will happen officially within the hour. A 1 o'clock press conference today. You'll hear it right here on Sabres Live, an extended version. It's great to have you with us. The sun is shining, Marty, and I think that's very fitting, especially based on the heels of the opening video, which concluded with the words from Rick Jenneret. And RJ would be the most excited, I think, for sure, to see Lindy back behind the bench, which was announced yesterday and, again, made official with the press conference at 1 today.
Yeah, no, a lot of excitement. I won't lie to you, Duffer. This has been a very busy, almost 24 hours. I mean, the amount of text messages, calls, people I ran into that are excited about Lindy Ruff back. And look, there's some nostalgia obviously attached to it. But I think that the decision to pick Lindy as the coach has a ton of merit just on the way that he coaches, the guy that he is, the understanding. And I keep saying this, Buffalo is a different market. Like, understanding the fan base, the area, the market, the history of the team and the game is important. And Lindy obviously checks all of that. But most importantly, because of the way that he's been evolving and changing as a coach over the last, 15 years since, he's had to change after the first lockout and then on and on with Dallas and New Jersey. I think it's a great pick. And I'll say this, and for our WGR listeners out there that remember years and years ago, there was a great little bit that they did in the morning show. Hey, Lindy, like, I'm going to say it once and I'm not going to do it again. People ask me like, hey, Marty, can you do a Hey, Lindy again? And I'm not going to do it anymore. But I had to do it once because Lindy Ruff is back.
Well, you mentioned Dallas and New Jersey. When you think that in the time Lindy has been gone between stints as head coach of the Buffalo Sabres, Lindy has probably had a longer coaching career than most coaches ever dream of.
Yes.
He had 4 years with Dallas, 4 years with New Jersey, and 3 years as an assistant with the New York Rangers. Yeah. Marty, that seems unfathomable that he's had over 10 more years of coaching with other teams. And the only reason I bring this up is because you already mentioned adaptation, change, evolving. And that to me is what gets us to now and why now is important and why now Lindy can be a fit. Now, I haven't obviously been in the room in those situations the last 11 years, but I would think you have a pretty good idea based on observations and conversations, how you think Lindy is suited for this now based on, again, it sounds ridiculous based on the thousands of games he had as a player and a coach prior to leaving the last time. But what is Lindy Ruff as a coach now?
Well, I'll tell you this. The biggest interaction that I've had talking about Lindy is when he was the assistant coach of the New York Rangers. And David Quinn was the head coach, but Lindy was an assistant coach, also kind of more of like an associate coach, helping a college coach like get to the NHL and really learn. And David Quinn, you know, is now in San Jose. But over the time, did have some success in New York with the guidance of Lindy Ruff. And I remember the guys talking about how well prepared he was, his structure, his system, the video session, the bullet points, making sure that it's clear. It's like, okay, this is what we're going to do today, keeping it simple, but very efficient. And so I remember talking to a lot of the players, you know, in the late 2017, 18 or whatnot, you know, doing some Rangers coverage, doing some NHL Network coverage, doing Sabres coverage at the same time, but really paying attention to my former team and what he was doing back then. And I think that he had an impact as an associate coach with the New York Rangers. But more importantly, I looked at the numbers that he had with the New Jersey Devils over the last four seasons, and also when he was the head coach of the Dallas Stars, because he was the head coach of the Stars for 4 years, and they were one of the best, if not the best, offensive team in those 4 years across the National Hockey League. I mean, they were top three, top two, and they were first in goals for in 2015, 2016. What cost them in Dallas was the goaltending, obviously, that was very, very below average for many years in Dallas. But it's happened again in New Jersey. I feel like the goaltending, especially this season, cost them. But all the numbers have always been really good, both on the offensive side of the game and on the defensive side of the game when you look at the expected goals, which is exactly what the Sabres are looking for, is bring those numbers up. Because last year, they were 25th in expected goals for and 22nd in expected goals against. If you're in the 20th in both categories, you're not going to get anywhere. But with Lindy's teams in New Jersey, we're in the top 15 and in the top 10 over the last 4 years more often, and that's the key to success.
So last year, Buffalo and New Jersey both, not this past season, the season before, 22-23, both the Devils and the Sabres ranked top five in the NHL in goal scoring.
Yes.
Sabres had a drop-off this year of more than half a goal per game. Well, the Devils experienced a drop of about a third of a goal per game. The undoing, as you mentioned, for the Devils was the fact that coinciding with a drop in offense was a horrific turn of events when it came to goaltending, as they went up about 0.7 goals per game against. There was also, you know, of interest, this is kind of where I'm going with this. Every team goes through injuries.
Yes.
And we're also going to see the roster undoubtedly change a little bit. Not that that affects this tenure of Lindy in the sense that he, you know, he wasn't here last year with this most recent group. But what Lindy experienced last year with New Jersey was the loss of Dougie Hamilton right away on the heels of losing his two other biggest minute guys in Severson and Graves as they went younger on the blue line. And then it combined with the loss of Hamilton. So it was a completely, or should I say more, far more inexperienced group on the defense in front of the average at best goaltending, right? So these are These are factors for sure that saw New Jersey drop. Now, again, I kind of mentioned tongue in cheek a couple of weeks ago, like the Devils were 3 games over .500 when they fired Lindy. Travis Green went 4 games under .500 to close the season. Clearly, Lindy was not the problem in New Jersey, right?
And it's not just the record. It's also in the advanced numbers. Sure, like they dropped in everything. They dropped in expected goals for from 7th when Lindy was the coach to 19th when Lindy got after he got fired, from 16th in expected goals against to 20th expected goals against. They dropped like in every categories when they made the change to Travis Green.
So what ended up happening almost unexpectedly last year was Lindy was working with a different defense corps, but a significantly younger one. Obviously, we saw Luke Hughes come in and do what Luke Hughes was expected to do.
Simon Nemets.
Right. But Hughes was obviously the more pronounced one, and it was just a different group in general. What do you think Lindy can do with this particular young group of defense? Because, again, like, even though we're anticipating change overall to the roster, I think most of us would sit here and say, you're getting at least 80% of this defense core back next season, right?
Yes.
Like even if they chose to do something bold and trade one person off of that, you still have high-end, high draft picks that are going to be the foundation for this team moving forward. They have to be the foundation for this team moving forward. So, knowing what you knew about Lindy before, what you've known about him now, the opportunity to even have Luke Hughes on his defense this past year, but then take all that knowledge and work with Howard, Dahlin, Byram, Samuelson, et cetera. What do you make of all that? And sorry for the long-windedness. So,
No. It's perfect because it puts it on a silver platter for me, Duffer. I love that. You've got a primary and a secondary assist on the same play right there.
Just give me all 3 stars right now.
Absolutely. Maurice Richard, there you go. Here's what it does. It's easy for me to just say which group has the best or the better defense corps right now. You compare Dahlin, Byram, Power, Matthias Samuelson. I'm just going to take the top four, and you compare it to Hughes, Marino, Nemets. Okay, Dougie Hamilton, but he was hurt all season. But, you know, the Sabres had most of their guys without Samuelson. I'm taking the Sabres group any day of the week. And what Lindy had to do in New Jersey is Luke Hughes' first NHL season, Simon Nemets' first NHL season, really. Like, they had played a few games, but never on a full time. So they still manage to be 16th in expected goals against with that group of young defensemen. Young and talented, but not a lot of NHL experience. The Sabres, in return, with the Dahlin and Power and Samuelson for part of the year and Byram for the last part of the year, were 22nd in expected goals against. And it's not just on the defense, but I'm saying, okay, now you're taking a coach like Lindy Ruff, who with a very young and inexperienced group was able to stay middle of the road on the defensive side of the game. And you give them the Dahlin, first overall pick, the Power, fourth overall pick, the core that this group has in the blue line, it can only get better. And I would expect, and maybe I'm putting numbers already out there, I would expect the Sabres to be in the top 15, maybe even in the top 10 at the end of the day, when you look at the expected goals against next year, because that is the next step for this group to take. And Lindy, I believe, with his structure, will be able to make them take that next step, which is what Kevin Adams wants to see.
Lindy Ruff press conference at 1 p.m. today. Stay with us for that. Extended Sabres live here this afternoon as Lindy Ruff has been hired as head coach of the Buffalo Sabres. Announcement was made yesterday. And again, press conference coming up at 1 p.m. Getting a fair amount of one-word reaction to what Lindy brings. So as I rattle through some of these words, I'd like you to then maybe accentuate the one that resonates with you most. Desire, redemption, passion, experience, intensity.
Yeah, and look, passion and intensity come together when it comes to Lindy Ruff. In the good and the bad, there's always passion and intensity. which is the way that he played. It's the way that he coached. It's the way that he still coaches. It's the way that he plays golf in the summertime at a charity golf event. And he's out there wanting to win it. And he's out there like trying to, you know, get in other people's head or game and mess around, right? That's how he does things. I don't think redemption. I look at Lindy Ruff, his first go around as a head coach of the Buffalo Sabres was very successful. Three trips to the conference finals, one trip to the Stanley Cup final. A longevity that lasts over 15 years. You don't ever see that in the National Hockey League. So I don't think this is redemption. Redemption for what? Lindy is a good coach. Lindy is a great coach. Lindy is one of, if it wasn't the Buffalo Sabres, he would have gotten other four, five, six calls from vacancies around the league to say, hey, what's your plan? What do you want to do? So I don't see redemption really, but also you've got, you know, Jake here, he said skeptical, you know, he's missed the playoffs a little bit, but again, to me, like, I'm not skeptical. I think that if the roster is presented to him, that it is a good roster. And look, I think the Sabres have a good roster with some holes to fill right now. And there is going to be some holes to fill. I think Lindy can only take this roster and take that next step with them, especially because it's going to be a first year, a lot of new energy, a lot of everything. I think that could only mean that it's going to start well.
Obviously, lots of playoff action going on in the NHL. We'll revisit what happened last night and look ahead to tonight coming up. We'll obviously also talk Amerks and Bandits. And by the way, ticket sales are brisk for the Bandits right now. And let that be my friendly reminder to you that if you want to hang out in Bandit Land on Saturday night, you might want to get your tickets now because it's a single elimination quarterfinal matchup. And it is a well-earned opportunity for this Bandits defending championship team that had some challenges in the first 11 games of the year, but finished incredibly strong with some record-setting performances and league-leading performances among individual players that has them in a position to host this weekend against Georgia. And that also could end up being a redemption game, because they had a narrow loss to the Swarm on home floor this year. And I can only imagine just the opportunity that awaits the Bandits here on Saturday to try to put themselves, into the Final Four. So
it didn't look like they were going to have a home playoff game for a while there. And they worked their way into it, which I think is fantastic for Bandit Land, because that home field advantage, the arena, the KeyBank Center, is just buzzing when the Bandits are home.
And it was sold out last regular season home game as well, which was pretty amazing. Now, you want slim chances. Nobody had slimmer than the Rochester Nighthawks going into the final weekend. They needed three teams to lose, and they had to win twice. And it all happened. They went from a less than 4% chance to make the postseason to winning it on the final day. And their reward
was it the race to 89 for them, too?
Oh, my God.
It worked for the Nighthawks. It didn't work for the Sabres, but it worked for the Nighthawks.
It's the race to face the Rock, unfortunately, for them. But perhaps with recency bias, meaning embarrassment, and that's no disrespect to the Nighthawks, the Rock have crushed a lot of teams this year, but Rochester felt it most recently. And, we'll see if they can bounce back. But for the moment, obviously, focal point is the Sabres hiring of Lindy Ruff and your reaction, of course, coming in here on X at Sabres Live. And if you're just tuning in, we will have Lindy's reintroduction presser, if you will, with Kevin Adams at the top of the hour. It's an extended Sabres Live today. Discipline is always an interesting word. How does it pertain to Lindy and the current version of Lindy Ruff, in your opinion?
Well, for me, discipline can be put in a lot of different ways. Discipline, the structure, discipline in the way you play, discipline in the way you practice. And I think that was something I experienced, but more importantly, that's something that I see. I see out of Lindy Ruff's teams when they would come to, you know, KeyBank Center and you would watch morning skate with the New Jersey Devils. You would watch them play in the way that they were trying to stay structured. And, that's a big part of the discipline that Lindy brings. I've told that story before and I'll tell it again. I once got pulled out of a game because of a lack of discipline. I took a stupid penalty at the end of a first period in Montreal. And Lindy was like, "You're no different than any other teammates here." He was trying to send a message. And I sat the rest of the game and Mika Noronen went in because I had taken a penalty at the end of the first period. I was playing well, but it led to Lindy and I getting a little bit of a word exchange in the coach's room in Montreal. And you know what? That's part of the game too. And then the next day you work and you work hard and you discipline with your, you know, on ice, off ice work ethic. And so, yeah, I've told that story before. That's one of my very few times I've gotten into a verbal argument with one of my head coaches. And I still didn't win the argument, Duffer. I lost it. And I lost it as soon as I walked into the coach's room that day.
I'm curious, since everybody else is writing about and sharing on social Lindy memories, do you have a short, ridiculously funny Lindy moment from over the years, either on the bench or in the room?
Well, two. One, so remember the year that I it's kind of in the same time frame, the year I had 13 straight wins. One of the game in between that was a Mika Noronen start, and Mika got hurt late in the third period, pulled his groin. We're playing the New York Rangers. It's tie game. And then we go into overtime and Mika comes to the bench and he's like, I don't know that I can go. And Lindy goes, what, you're hurt? And he goes, yeah, I pulled my groin. I'm going to tough it out. So Lindy looks over to me. He goes, Marty, get on the bike, do some shadow boxing, get warmed up. You may go in there. Teppo Newman is sitting next to me and Teppo is always straight face, like never laughing. He started bursting out laughing. He goes, shadow boxing on the bike? You're a goalie, for goodness sake. You can't do any of that. And sure enough, Mika gave up a goal in the first shootout attempt. And Lindy says, Marty, you're going in, because he could see Mika couldn't move. And then I went in to face Michael Nylander and Jaromir Jagr. I gave up two goals and we lost that game. Now, it didn't count as a start and a loss, so my streak kept on going. So that's a funny thing. But here's what I mean, I remember how tough Lindy was as a coach when I was playing here, and how tough he could be as a coach when I watched him in Dallas and in New Jersey and even as an assistant with the Rangers. But the other side of it, so I won 13 games in a row, and we have an optional skate one of those days, and I felt like I was skating every day. I wanted to keep skating to keep my streak going. And sure enough, we get on the ice and Lindy decided to put the goalie gear to have fun with all the guys. So he put on pads that he found in the closet, pants, whatever, and he went on the ice, but he grabbed a stick from the stick rack. Which stick do you think he grabbed? My game stick, the one that I played 13 straight games with. And he decided to just go out there with my stick. And I'm like, I'm looking across we're playing 3-on-3 cross ice. I'm on the one net. He's on the other one. And I'm looking across and I'm like, do I say something? Do I walk over there? Do I tell him, hey, listen, go get a different stick. This is my game stick. I didn't say anything. And sure enough, that stick broke the next game. And then I lost the game. So it's all Lindy's fault.
The stick break before the loss?
It did. Yeah.
Or was it because of the loss?
No, it broke, actually. It technically broke at the end of the game 13, but I tried to keep it going.
Right.
And then Lindy used it, and then it broke before the next game.
Wow. So
It's his fault. I'm going to blame him for that.
Well, dare I say,
I would have had 100 straight games with a win if it wasn't because of Lindy. I just stopped. I had to stop at 13 because of him.
You probably then would have officially got at least a silver stick somewhere along the way.
Yeah. And
worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Probably would have used it in practice if it was sitting in my rack, because he would have thought, ooh, yeah, this thing's pretty cool.
Who's going to benefit the most on this roster from Lindy's presence?
Oh, I'm looking at forwards. I know that it's easy to say, look at Dahlin, but I thought Dahlin, you know, has had fantastic years here over the last little bit. You know, Owen Power, only in the second year. I think there's more there. But I'm looking at the forwards, and I'm looking at a guy like Alex Tuch. And I know Tuch had a career year 2 years ago, and last season was his second best year in his career, despite the fact that, you know, it was kind of a step back for most offensively, including Alex Tuch. I think of Tuch as being one of the type of players that Lindy loves the most. The guys that are big and strong, can skate, have offense, can kill penalties, like a leader. So I really see Alex Tuch like taking even a bigger step. And with that, well, that means Tage Thompson. That means, you know, Dylan Cousins. That means everybody taking a step forward. The easy answer probably would also be Dylan Cousins, because of, you know, this year was not a really good year for Dylan. And say, well, you know, there's only one way but up for him. And with Lindy, maybe that's going to come. But I think the impact with Alex Tuch is going to be significant. I went on with Jeremy and Joe this morning, and I mentioned, like, when Lindy was coaching, and he used to want so much for Chris Gratton. Gratz, you're big, you're strong, you can skate, you can shoot, you can be a point a game in this league. That's when point a game player were rare. Like, there wasn't 50 of them. There was, you know, a handful, and that was it. And that's the type of players that Lindy really loves to push. Those big, strong forward that can really play in all aspects of the game. And Chris Gratton just didn't want it. He just didn't want it. That's why they traded him to Arizona and got Danny Briere, because Gratz didn't want it. But I think of an Alex Tuch, and he wants it. Tucky wants it. I think it's going to be really, really good for him.
Anyone on the much younger scale of forwards that you could see the direct impact happening with quickly?
Well, I mean, I think the young players are all on their way to having an impact by themselves, like JJ Paterka with the year he had. Jack Quinn, despite the injury, when he returned, you could see a guy that can play really, really a good offensive role. Mm-hmm. I think there is a guidance that comes naturally with Lindy Ruff. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk about having a lot of young players, having the Jack Hughes and, you know, the Luke Hughes and all of these players in New Jersey. I think there's a guy that's
Nico Hischier.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You know, there's so many young players that he had to, and I think there's a guidance that is really good when it comes to, there's a lot of teaching, you know, on the off days. There's a lot of intensity on game day and on the bench, and you can sense it when he's walking behind the bench. You can sense that intensity, but there's a lot of teaching in between games, you know, doing the meetings. There's a ton. So I think it's going to help young players learn the game. And I'm not saying that the previous staff didn't do that. I know the experience that I've had and talking to other players. You know, I talked to Tyler Toffoli in an interview this year when he was with New Jersey, and I asked him about Lindy, and he says, you know what? You have to have a really good hockey IQ to play well under Lindy Ruff, because he demands a lot. He changes systems during the game. You'll be in a 1-2-2, and then all of a sudden he says, that's not working. We're going 2-1-2. We're going to be aggressive. And then all of a sudden he's like, okay, we're up a couple of goals. We're going to do 1-3-1. Like, you have to be able to adjust to that. And I think that's a quality to have, high hockey IQ. And a coach that demands that is, to me, a good coach.
Right. And the goal, of course, is now get back to the playoffs. And that's why the emphasis is on that word right now, with Lindy Ruff being rehired as head coach of this Buffalo Sabres team. His presser comes up at 1 p.m. You'll see it here on hear it here on an extended Sabres Live. There is playoff action coming up within the Sabres organization, and it happens and begins this Friday as the Amherst taking on Syracuse. Tickets are on sale now, so we look forward to seeing you at what I'm going to hope is a sold-out Blue Cross Arena. We were very close to that in the regular season home finale last Friday. Syracuse and Rochester, they've already squared off 12 times this year. Amherst had some good results down the stretch, ended up 5-5-2 against the Crunch, and there was next to nothing separating the top three teams in the division, which is Cleveland, Rochester, and Syracuse. So what a matchup it should be. I'm informed today that Isaac Rosean is okay following that just gritty, incredible shot block to help close out the game on Sunday afternoon in Utica. And obviously he was absolutely sensational in the final 20 games of the regular season to be able to lift the Amherst into a number two spot in the division. So the series starts Friday. It continues Sunday afternoon at Blue Cross Arena. The following week, we've got Thursday and Saturday, if necessary, in Syracuse. And if it goes the distance in this five-game series, Friday, May the 10th, it would be back at Blue Cross Arena. Lindy Ruff's presser just over half an hour away. Much more on Sabres Live, including playoff action from last night across the NHL. Stay with us.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
I think I've probably watched Lindy coach about as many games as I've actually played. Well, more than the amount of games I played for the Sabres. So he was my favorite coach growing up. That was the teams that I watched and sat on the couch and watched with my dad, and to see what he was able to do with those teams was really cool. It was really special. I got to actually meet him for the first time this year. And I didn't even think about that. Lindy's a great coach, a really smart guy. I've always been a huge fan of his. I have no idea. That'd be pretty cool, though. Dream come true for me.
That was Alex Tuch at Locker Cleanout, and obviously long before the Sabres made the announcement that Lindy Ruff will, in fact, be the head coach moving forward. As they made that announcement yesterday, the press conference featuring Lindy and general manager Kevin Adams will come up at the top of the hour, and you've got an extended Sabres Live today here on WGR Sports Radio 550 and MSG, as we'll carry the presser, react to it, and obviously, as we continue right now,
Duffer, before we go around the league quickly, Buffalo Sabres X account posted pictures of Alex Tuch. And, you know, where do you want your coach to see you in on this April 23rd? If the coach's going to come and meet you, where do you want it to be?
No idea.
Well, it's not the bar. Like, you don't want to meet the coach, like, having a couple of pints at the bar. In the weight room, Alex Tuch is, like, making sure he's in the weight room this morning as the new head coach first makes his appearance. And, hey, coach, see, I'm lifting 600 pounds on the squat right now. I'm ready for next year. So good place to meet the coach for the first time, this morning.
You really want me to say it? It's staged, Marty.
It's staged? Well, if it's staged, good job on Tucky to think about it beforehand and say, I'm going to hang around the weight room for when Lindy comes in.
Not like he didn't know yesterday, like the rest of us, right? Like,
exactly. I would have been in the hot tub. That's where I would have been. Hey, what's up, coach? I'm enjoying my time in the hot tub.
Yeah. Where would that defenseman from the Rangers have been?
in the tanning bed.
On the, no, the massage table.
Oh, yeah. Delzato didn't like that. Although, man, I have so many stories. I'd say tanning bed because when Phil Esposito took over with the New York Rangers, he took all the exercise bikes out of the room and put two tanning beds and said, guys, look good, feel good, play good. You look a little pale. Make sure you get in the tanning bed and feel better about yourself. So, yeah, there's different coaches and different mentalities, that's for sure.
Wow. So you mentioned Esposito, which, of course, directly or indirectly connects with Gretzky because, of course, Gretz passed Esposito for the goal-scoring mark and the Rangers and the Oilers and the connection. So why don't we start our quick review of last night with the Edmonton Oilers against the LA Kings. Well, we think this was the Kings. It didn't look like the Kings for the better part of the game. Yeah. And if you turned it off early, I applaud you. It was 6-2 in the third period. And yes, there were a couple of late LA goals, but they were insignificant. Now, the reason I'm drawing this Esposito Rangers Gretzky Oilers connection is what happened in the game last night? Well, Connor McDavid had 5 assists, which was one shy of the NHL record in a playoff game.
Yes.
Who do you believe holds that record? There are two players who share it, as a matter of fact.
Oh, I heard that this morning. One of the name, I would not be able to remember it.
You heard it this morning? This is not new info. Oh, this sucks.
Well, then the NHL, like, maybe they posted something PR.
Most people don't actually look for facts. They just spew misinformation. So
no, I understand that. But I want to say NHL Radio had a little something about it. So one of the name I don't know. The other one, I believe, is it Phil?
No, it's Wayne Gretzky. How do you not, after all this time, Marty?
Because I'm a little gun-shy now because earlier year I answered Wayne Gretzky in one of your questions and I was wrong. And I said I'm not always going to answer Wayne Gretzky.
Here's my hint. For a better life moving forward between now and mid-June. Always answer Wayne.
Wayne Gretzky.
Like this time of year, you're not going to escape Wayne being the focal point. So
who's the other guy though? Because
Mikko Lanninen was playing with the Rangers in the 82 playoffs. He ended up with 7 points that playoff year. 6 of them came in one game against the Philadelphia Flyers. And they were all assists, of course. Gretzky had a 6-assist game as part of a 7-point game against the LA Kings in 1987, which is significant because it was at that time the Kings realized maybe we should go and get this Gretzky guy. And it wasn't too long after that they indeed found their way to landing.
He thought, you know what, anyway, if we get Gretzky, he's going to score a point in every home game in his first season and playoffs with the LA Kings, and we'll sell a lot of tickets.
And something that Nathan MacKinnon won't be able to match, and he hasn't yet. Connor McDavid, 5 points.
Yes.
Evan Bouchard, 4 assists. Zach Hyman, his 5th career hat trick this year. 3 goals, 1 assist, and in total now, regular season and playoffs, he's at 57 goals. What happened to the LA Kings and what is going to happen moving forward? Because I don't even think I would start to blame Cam Talbot in this
one.
Like the pace was so Edmonton's game. Like I get it, score effect, it ends up 45-37 shots on goal, total Wild West 1980s era. Of, you know, first round kind of game, but very, very, very disappointing showing, I thought, by the LA Kings.
So the Oilers told the Kings, you don't deserve to be on the same ice as we are. And that showed in the first period. The expected goals in the first period were 2.25 for the Edmonton Oilers to a mere 0.2 for the LA Kings. The Oilers dominated the first period. Now, when it got 4-0, the Kings all of a sudden got a little bit of a bump in the numbers. They created a few chances and whatnot. The game was over. And then they got in undisciplined. And then the Oilers ended up going, 3-for-4 on the power play just to say, hey, you know what? Like, if you're going to take penalties, we're going to score. And if you don't take penalties, we're just going to dominate you at 5-on-5. It was unbelievable. And the biggest number, and this is the one I'm going to stump you on, Duffer. How many hats do you think were thrown on the ice when Zach Hyman scored his hat trick?
Is there an official count or is this just a silly question?
There was an official count. I don't have the official number in front of you because I heard that it was an official count.
Okay. 5,342.
Well, you gone over. So like The Price is Right. And it was 1,104, I believe. 1,104 hats were thrown on the ice, something to that effect.
I'd love to know what the proper ratio or...
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rings, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Our expected ratio is, hats to actual people in attendance.
Well, the actual question to Zach Hyman after the game is, have you ever seen so many hats on the ice after a hat trick? And he said, no, this was the most hat he had ever seen.
What a terrible generic sports question.
I know.
That is.
Like, okay, come on, right?
No, but at the same time, I've never seen that many hats.
Yeah, I've never seen that. Listen, everything has been seen. Everything has happened at least once. So don't start a question by, I've never seen this. That doesn't work.
Okay, well, we're trending towards talking about a game that had one team thoroughly embarrassed in the fewest number of shots. But I'll tell you what, Vegas did pretty well scoring on 4 of their 15 shots on Jake Cottinger last night. And, of course, the names everybody was talking about going...
There's Hanifin. Long wrist.
Front and center for Vegas. Mark Stone scores. Hurdle scores. Hanifin has 2 assists.
Yeah.
And your boy was not particularly good, but Logan Thompson got the win.
Yeah, Logan Thompson was not great, but Jake Oettinger was worse, and that's the problem. I understand that he gave up 4 goals on 15 shots. When you look at the expected goals at the end of the night, actually, the Dallas Stars had the better of the number when you look at how that worked. 3.5 to just 3 for the Vegas Golden Knights. But, if you don't get goaltending, especially in game 1 of the playoffs, like Jake Oettinger didn't perform well, you're not going to win, and Vegas... I mean, what are they at? 90-some million on their cap right now? Like, if there was a salary
less
cap.
Less than Toronto.
Less than Toronto, you're right. But actual players playing is pretty high. But, hey, they worked it out again, and Mark Stone comes in and scores the first goal early in the game, too. I'm like, oh, man. Like, if you're Mark Stone, just wait a little later in the game so you don't – the fix isn't in. But it really felt like that when he got the first goal of the game.
Loved it and hated the goal Thompson gave up late to Marchman. Enough that Dallas had, I mean, my goodness, from long range. I don't even know how you would describe it, Marty. Like, why would Thompson attempt to stop it the way he tried to?
Well, he kind of like moved away. It's almost like
weird.
Instead of saying like, you know what, I'm going to get my body. I'm going to move away and then turn myself sideways and catch. Charlie Lindgren does that a lot. Me and Jacob were talking about it, how he catches the puck almost like he wants to scoop it and have it in the webbing instead of closing it. Like, play a little baseball, play a little catcher, get in front of it. Boom, catch it. No worries. That was a bad goal. There's still eight and a quarter left in the game. A lot of time for Dallas to come back and all of a sudden get like something going.
You think Thompson will play the whole series?
I think he will play unless there's Aiden Hill was just not good at all in the second half when he returned from injury. So I think it's Thompson's net. And unlike Boston, let's not have a rotation in Vegas.
Well, the rotation didn't hurt Boston. We'll get to that in a minute. But 30-15 were the shots in favor of Dallas. That's right. 30-15.
Yeah.
And yet the team on the wrong end of it won. Now, we do have enough time between now and Lindy's presser at the top of the hour to show you all of the Islanders' shots on goal. But we're going to spare you the details and just look at the fact that they blew a 3-0 lead and the shot attempts in the game were 110 for Carolina. 110, which is almost twice as many as most teams get in a game. To 28.
It's just awful. It's awful.
How did the Islanders have a 3-0 lead? We know how they blew the 3-0 lead, clearly. But how did they have a 3-0 lead?
How they got a 3-0 lead? They got a power play in the second that made it 3-0, and that was Anders Lee scoring, and I look good. Like, Freddie Anderson was a little shaky early, but it's not an easy game when you don't see anything, and the pressure keeps mounting. You're like, I got to make the next save, and then it goes in. I got to make the next save, and then it goes in. But this was a domination by the Hurricanes. So how about this one, Duffer? Again, sitting on the couch with Jacob last night, we're watching that game. When Carolina tied it at 3, they pulled a goalie, 3-2. There was 2.5 minutes left. Just over 2 minutes left, I believe, is when they tied it. Yeah, 2:06 left. Martinook scored to make it 3-3. And actually, Aho ties it. 2:15 left. And the puck drops, and Jacob looks over to me. He says, hey, you know what? I bet you Carolina wins this one in regulation. They could really win in because the domination was so on. And it was a mere 9 seconds later that Martinook scored. And so it leads Jacob to say, I have never seen anything like this. Like, I'm like, wait a second.
I have.
Because I remember 2009, the Carolina Hurricanes, the Cardiac Canes in game 4 beat Marty Brodeur and the Devils 2 goals in the last minute and a half to win in regulation. And then in game 7, it was Jussi Jokinen with 0.2 seconds to steal the game in regulation. I'm like, the Cardiac Canes were labeled that year in 2009. And it happens. It doesn't happen often, but Carolina dominated the second half of the game. They've been doing that a lot lately. That's how they came back in game 1. That's how they won some games down the stretch in the regular season. They did it again in game 2.
Yes, and we've already now seen on the first few nights, we've seen 12 seconds where Vancouver was able to flip the game against the Predators, and we've seen 9 seconds, which was obviously Carolina over the Islanders last night, and I gave you the reference point of 2013 just the other day, which was Chicago doing it in 17 to win the Stanley Cup right out from under the nose of the Boston Bruins. So these are important historical notes, and I would suggest the teams pay attention on the shift following a goal. Marty, it's as old as the game itself.
It's a cliche, and I don't want to talk about it, but pay attention.
Right? Like, oh my gosh. That was a very, very, very poor showing by the Islanders on that goal. And then it was, of course, typical. Like, hey, you don't want to give up an empty netter to Jake Gensel?
Work hard.
Like, play better. Like, seriously. He's getting hacked.
Why is Palmieri mad at Jake Gensel? Why was he mad? He didn't do anything embarrassing. He put the puck in the net.
And he didn't turn around and smirk at him until he took 2 or 3 slashes from him.
What is with the frustration? It has to be something else. I thought that was very weird of Cal Palmieri to just all of a sudden want to unleash and unload on Jake Gensel because he scored an empty net goal.
Regular listeners to this show will not be surprised at all when I say, oh, no time for the Leafs and Bruins. We're back after this on Sabres Live.
With more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Hey, Sabres fans, Lindy Ruff here. I'm honored to be the next head coach of the Buffalo Sabres. I'm looking forward to seeing everybody here at the KeyBank Center.
Including you within the next few minutes. Yes, I think that was an open invitation for everybody to tune in, and we will have an extended Sabres Live going into hour number 2 because, Marty, we are mere moments away, minutes actually, from Lindy's presser with the general manager Kevin Adams at 1 p.m.
Yeah, listen, it's going to be exciting, and I want to hear what Lindy has to say because, you know, it's not about. And I know questions are going to come up about, hey, his time in Buffalo is 15 years, you know, coaching Hasek and Pekka and Drury and Briere and Miller and whatever, right? They may even ask about me. Who knows? But it's not about that. It's about what are you bringing? What is your take on this team? You've played them this year. You've played them the year before. You know what they're all about. How do you see it? How do you put your coaching style onto this team? I think that's where it's all about.
I'm also disappointed that in the first hour, not only did we not get to the Maple Leafs, and I'm heartbroken, but we didn't have a chance to dive in on Ivan Fedotov. So please bookmark that for tomorrow's show, okay?
Okay, well, he signed a 2-year extension, $3.25 million a year. It's a lot of money for a guy that I say can't skate. So
money well earned. Oh my goodness.
Dude, he played a handful of games, not even, but hey, he's in a position and it's a unique position.
So I'll leave it to you right now to punctuate this first hour. Why now for Lindy Ruff with the Buffalo Sabres?
I think it's the right approach, the right mindset with the right group of players. That's what it's all about. So I'm looking forward to next year when it all starts against the Devils in Prague, by the way.
Indeed. And we, of course, have the press conference upcoming on an extended Sabres Live right after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.